Mr. Dick Mayer, Westmont, April 5th. So my first question, what were you doing the day before the flood?
I was at a convention. I was a member of the Pennsylvania Newspaper Publishers Association. I think actually the year before I was a president. But we had a meeting in Reading, and I got home the night of the storm.
Okay. What were you doing the morning of the flood?
Morning of the flood, the first part of the morning of the flood, about 4 o'clock in the morning, we were over at the incline looking down at Penn traffic and the Point Stadium and saw all the water.
It was because of your phone call at 2.
We had a phone call at 2 o'clock saying that what they thought at that time was that at 10 o'clock they thought the sewers were backed up. By 2 o'clock they knew that there was going to be a flood. By 4 o'clock Connie and I went over and confirmed that.
So what were you doing the day after the flood?
Day after the flood, we were busy working to recover from the flood.
And how did you recover from the flood?
The day of the flood, I drove down to town by way, couldn't get down a regular way, but I went to Jerome, and then went to 219, and then came around the airport, and came down the Frankstown Road, and drove over to the Tribune in about 2 feet of water, and got there about 6 in the morning. And the rest of the week was cleaning up from the flood.
How did you know about that route to go up to Jerome?
My dad was the district attorney in 1936, and he had to get to town to recover from that flood, and he, in his talking about that flood, I remember that he told me the only way to get to town is from the Frankstown Hill and the airport, which turned out to be true. I was able to do the same thing in 77.
So what was your biggest loss in the flood with the recovery process?
Well, the newspaper's biggest loss was that they weren't able to print. The way the press works is that the paper for the press is one floor down, and then the press itself is on the, actually we put the press on the second floor in 1965. Because we knew that if there was ever a flood again, the press would be underwater. So we put the press on the second floor. But the paper for the press was on the first floor and got all wet. So it took us 24 hours to get all that ruined paper out of there and new paper in and to be able to publish. So the first things that we were doing were working on the press to make sure we could publish.
So along with moving the press to the second floor, were there any other preparations for the flood?
No, not particularly for a flood. But you know, this community has gone through lots of floods in its history, and everybody knew that it was possible to have a flood. So when we made the new press, we put it up. But that's the only thing that I know of.
You didn't have flood insurance or anything like that?
Flood insurance?
Yeah, you didn't have flood insurance.
I don't remember the newspaper, or certainly ourselves didn't, because we'd always lived here. I don't remember the newspaper having any flood insurance.
So what was it like 1 week after the flood?
1 week after. We probably still didn't have any electricity. What we did was, the newspaper was right across the alley from the telephone company. And the telephone company had electricity. Let me go back a little bit. The downtown community is controlled by two sets of electrical service. One is called Green Hill and one's called something else, and I don't know what it was. But the telephone company was on a service that actually had electric. And we didn't have electric, but we had telephone. They didn't have telephone, even though they were the telephone company. So we sent them through the alley from the second floor. We sent them a telephone line, and they sent us an electric line, and we just shifted. And we had that for about a week before we were able to get our own service. The press takes an enormous amount of electricity, and we had no way to get electric power to the press. So Jack Murtha had called or sent somebody over, since we couldn't talk to him on the phone, sent somebody over and said, "Is there anything we can do for you?" And we said, "We need a generator." And he got the Army Reserve to send down a huge generator on tires that the military uses, and we ran our press from that generator for probably a month until we could get the underground service, the high service that we needed from the electric company.
So what was it like 1 month after the flood?
1 month after, we were probably pretty fully recovered. We were technically hurt in our computer operation, which wasn't a lot at that time, except that all the cable wires were under the floor. And
on the first floor.
On the first floor. Under the floor on the first floor. Connie spent 10 days, I think, as I remember, cleaning all those wires under the computer that we were using. That should have been fully recovered within the month. But I think we were, totally recovered in a month's time.
The Tribune, but not the town. The Tribune, but not the town.
Right.
So what was it like 1 year after the flood?
We were okay, but one of the interesting things that happened was that all the basements got full of mud. Let me go back a little. Out my office window is Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I could watch everything that happened in Central Park, including the looting of Glosser Brothers' store the first day as people were walking through the park. This kind of water, that kind of mud, taking television sets or whatever they could find over at Glosser's. But after that, the City Park Service decided that when they had this kind of mud, that all they would do is they'd clean the sidewalks but leave the mud there, because most of that mud was topsoil. And so for 2 or 3 years after the flood, when you walked on the sidewalk, you'd have to walk up if you were going to walk on the grass, because the mud was still there, and the city just grew grass and flowers on top of the old mud, which was just sort of interesting to me. But the reason I brought that up is because there's that kind of mud in every basement. If you get your basement pumped out, and there was a lot of that going on, but after you pump the water, you've still got mud down in the bottom. There were two or three stores on Main Street that never opened after the flood. Some of them had been vacant before the flood. And that mud in that basement started to smell. And a year later, you could still walk down the street and tell pretty well which basements hadn't been cleaned yet because of all the mud. And I can remember an insurance company. Dave Bach just died recently. Dave Bach and his partner Hegrick were in business together as Hegrick and Bach Insurance and Real Estate. And just after the flood, when everybody else was cleaning up, Dave told me that Hegrick called him, he called Hegrick and said, "When are we going to go down and clean up?" And Hegrick said, "You and I are out of business. If you want to clean up, go ahead." So that's when Dave Bach went in business for himself, but Hegrick didn't bother to clean up his business or anything. He just quit. A lot of people did that who were older and couldn't cope with it.
So what was it like 10 years after the flood?
10 years after the flood, let's see. Penn traffic is gone. Glosser's is gone or going. Bethlehem Steel is gone. Penn Elec is trying to pull out of town. Things weren't good. we were not in very good shape 10 years after the flood.
So, when recovering from the flood, who was the biggest help with the recovery?
John Murtha, our congressman. he came in and he got the federal government to do whatever it is that needed done.
And locally, it was Slavic, Father Slavic, Ed Cernik.
Yeah, there was a, that was going to be another question coming up on,
okay,
on what we do to, for the community. I was on a committee with Cernik and Father Slavic on the flood recovery for the city. And we tried to find out what the problems were and tried to solve those problems. And we'd call on Mirtha to solve as many of them as we could.
So was there any expectation of a flood before the 77 flood? Was there any expectation that another one could happen?
We were supposed to be flood free, and the all the the signs say flood free, and the Chamber of Commerce motto was flood free, but community pretty well knew that we were not flood free.
Have you ever looked back in hindsight and wondered what you could have done?
The only thing to do would be to level the mountain, make everything level, and then it all run to Pittsburgh. But as long as you've got mountains the way we do and a valley the way we do, if you're going to get 9 inches of rain in a short amount of time, you're going to have a flood, no matter what.
So what was your biggest concern during the flood?
During the flood?
Yeah, during the flood.
Biggest concern was getting back into business. We gathered the executives of the newspaper together probably at 8 o'clock in the morning, and by 8 o'clock that evening, we had produced in Greensburg the flood edition of the paper that day. So we spent 12 hours making sure we were able to publish.
So this is a more of a lighter question, but were there any interesting artifacts you found in the cleanup, during the cleanup process? Because I know Mr. Wolf, when he was cleaning out Penn Traffic, found a parking meter. Did you find any interesting artifacts like that?
I don't think so. Some people might. I don't think I did, no.
So I think this wraps up the interview. I'd like to thank you for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome.